Do you consider yourself multi-passionate, chronically late, a perfectionist, creative, awkward, overachiever, disorganized, problem solver? Perhaps that's your ADHD rearing its head. Let's get into our second part of the conversation with Jesse Romero. Are you overwhelmed by motherhood and barely keeping your head above water? Are you confused and frustrated by how all the other moms make it look so easy? You can't figure out how to manage the chaos in your mind, your home, or your family. I get you, mama. Parenting with ADHD is hard. Here is your permission slip to let go of the Pinterest-worthy visions of organization and structure fit for everyone else. Let's do life like our brains do life. Creatively, lovingly, and with all our might. When we embrace who we are and how our brains work, we can figure out how to live our lives successfully and, in turn, lead our families well. At the end of the day, we just want to be good moms, but spoiler alert, you are already a great mom. ADHD does not mean you're doomed to be a hot mess, mama. You can rewrite your story from shame spiral to success story, and I'll be right here beside you to cheer you on. Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD. Hey there, successful mama. It's your friend Patricia Sung. Before we get into the second half of our conversation with Jesse Romero, let's read our review of the day. Our review today comes from Epic Artist, who said, "Totally needed to hear this today. Thanks, girl, for breaking it down for me today. I needed to hear it. I just listened to episode 110, The Real Reason You Aren't Hitting Your Goals as a Mom, and wow. I needed to hear it. Now I keep asking myself, why, if I put it on my planner, am I not doing it? What is going through my thoughts about this? It's helping me today with being intentional. Thanks." Well, Epic Artist, thank you so much for your review. I super appreciate the 5 stars. And mama, I hope you will join in too in putting a rating in the podcast. Let's get back into our conversation with Jesse Romero. Jesse is the entrepreneur behind ADHD Female Entrepreneurs. If you haven't gone back and listened to the previous episode, I want you to go hear the brilliance that we discussed, not only with Jesse, but also the participants in the conversation. We were live on Fishbowl, which is a newer social app, which is kind of a cross between Clubhouse and Facebook with an emphasis on the workplace. And regardless if you're working or not, the things that we're discussing are things that will make sense for anyone who has ADHD or even suspects you do. In the first half of our conversation, we talked about the top 3 struggles Jesse sees in her ADHD entrepreneur women. How do we juggle all the things, especially as moms, imposter syndrome, and getting caught off guard when you're in a new situation? For example, in our conversation, it was a woman who gets really uncomfortable when she's in a job interview and they ask her something that she wasn't expecting. She's prepared her rear off and feels really good, and all of a sudden they ask her something that she didn't think about ahead of time and she freezes. What can we do about those situations? So today we're talking about executive function or perhaps dysfunction, staying organized on multiple projects that are all on different timing, routines, and breaking down destructive habits, and then how to form a new positive habit that is serving you well. So let's jump back into our live conversation with Jesse on Fishbowl, entitled Struggling in the Workplace, How to Overcome and Succeed.
One of the questions that y'all asked was talking about dysfunction in terms of like executive dysfunction and struggling with those areas at work. And then kind of like to piggyback on that, another question was, how do you handle multiple projects from various clients simultaneously? Like when you're juggling all the projects that are coming in at different points in, you know, they're in different stages and it's a lot to keep up with, especially keeping up with the notes and the to-dos and all that. So I wanted to touch on that for the next few minutes of what are the ways that we have or strategies that we have in place to keep up with the mountain of stuff that we have to keep up with that maybe our brain is not so good at. And Jesse, do you have anything that like comes to the top of your head when you think about how do we keep up with all this stuff?
So we are very visual people. So if we can't visualize it, our brain has a really hard time processing it. So if you're managing several clients or you have several projects you're managing all at once, it's going to be really important for you to have a visual representation of that. Because if not, your brain just can't see it, can't remember it, can't process it. Like, have you guys ever heard the term out of sight, out of mind? Yeah, that applies heavily to us. If it's not in our face, we forget it exists. So what I like to do for my clients, like I currently in my workspace, I have a group program going on. And so I have the names of each person that's in my group program up on my wall so I can see it. I can remember them. That reminds me to check in on them. And if I didn't have that there, then they would just kind of be like a figment in my mind, which would make it really hard to remember and to keep up with. And then another thing is automating and having a digital system. You want to look at CRMs, like one that I really like is called ClickUp. It's free to use and it has so many great features and it's very, very visual and you can color code things. So we can like distinguish the different type of projects you have. You can have it to where it can be like, this task is still ongoing. This task is due next week. This task is being worked on. It's really awesome. So I would say for whoever asks that or feels like they need a system, go in and try out some of the really good systems. I like ClickUp. Asana is a good one. Although that one I will say is like a hit or miss for ADHDers. Some people love it. Some people hate it. Dubsado. There's just lots of systems that you can use. So I would say make it digital because it makes it very visual for yourself. If not, do digital and do like something in your workspace where you can really see it.
Yeah, I do the similar thing too. I have a digital system in terms of like when I create the process of how to do something. Like for example, if you're managing like say a client's portfolio, like all the stuff that you're always going to do, I want that digital because then I can reuse it. I can copy and paste it, or I can print it out again. And then that way it's there and it's easily modifiable and I'm not going to lose it. But I also need the visual. I have to have things out in front of me. So I do a very loose version of bullet journaling where I need to be able to write stuff down on paper. But like if I don't write it down, it doesn't exist. If I type it, that's not the same thing. Like that just went into the ether. I have to like physically like handwrite it. But that way I can print out those systems and then use it for the project and maybe like hang up that paper on the wall in front of me, like you were saying, so that I use that balance of, yes, I want digital because it's reusable over and over again, but I do have to have that visual system in front of me or else it just doesn't exist. Like the same thing with like all my stuff on the counter in the bathroom. I have all of my stuff out, like the face wash and the deodorant, because if I don't have it out, I will not put on deodorant. So I've just accepted that that's part of life. I will never have a Martha Stewart counter. And hey, Michelle, you can go ahead and share now if you can, if it's working.
Okay, I think that works. Hi. Hey. Patricia, those things that you just said, if you have to write things down to remember them. And then I walked into my bathroom and saw my deodorant in front of me because I have to have everything out too. That was eerie. I was just, yes, that is so me. I'm so glad you said that. I've been doing my bookkeeping in the background while listening to this and a whole bunch of other things. And this is just, yeah, really helping. I used to lose things, not physical things, although I do that too all the time. But I used to lose thoughts and links, and I'm a serial bookmarker. And then if I forgot to bookmark something or I was on my phone and I couldn't add it to Chrome, I just get all, you know, discombobulated. So I'd create lists everywhere. So I found a tool recently that really helped me. You don't have to use the whole tool. It's called Notion. And Notion really helps in a couple of ways. One, it has a plugin on the phone. So when I'm scrolling through LinkedIn in the morning or I'm reading my email subscriptions and I find things that I want to refer to later, I can add to Notion and then drop it straight into a database and tag it and categorize it. So I never lose things. And that makes me feel so much better because I know when I've saved things and I know I can find them again. But sometimes it takes me half an hour to 45 minutes to find one link. And that takes up a lot of my day. And that used to take up a lot of my day all the time. Like rabbit holes are a huge risk for me. Like I just go down crazy yep. rabbit holes. And then I find five other rabbit holes on the way. So that really helped me. And Notion also helps me with like a front page for a lot of things. So if I'm organizing a project, same that visual way. I find things like ClickUp and stuff maybe a little too overwhelming, but I really like Notion has like you can create cover pages. I think Google Pages does it as well. So if you've got links out to Google Sheets and decks and people's websites and things like that, you can just create one page and link everything there. So it's like a wiki cover page. And I find that really, really helpful. I just need to remember to add things to it, but yeah. Keeping things in like all links in one place and that cover page have helped me hugely recently. Took like 20 years, but Yeah.
Notion is really awesome. I love using Notion as well for like note taking and writing things in. So yeah, I also have an Instagram post about some of the top Chrome extensions if you guys use Google Chrome as your browser. So if you just kind of scroll just a little bit, you'll find ADHD Entrepreneur Chrome extensions. There's so many good ones that I literally swear by because they save me so much time and really help me stay organized. Like there's one, it's called Momentum. And every time you go to click in a new tab, it kind of reminds you your intention for that day and has a like nice, pretty little background. Because I don't know about you guys, but ADHD people tend to kind of have a million tabs open, like physically on their laptop and desktop and in our brain. So if that's you, then this will really help you be like, wait a minute, girl, what are you supposed to be doing right now? It's called Momentum. It's a Chrome extension. It's really great. And it has a really nice background. So I always just like looking at it. And it also tells you the time. So then you're like, oh, shoot, it's already 4 o'clock. I'm so glad I'm not opening that page I was just thinking of opening.
Yeah, I like what Michelle was saying. Like, I think a lot of times we feel like our filing system has to be like super complicated. And for a lot of us, just dumping it all in one home is good enough. Like just sticking all the bookmarks in one place is enough because we can always search for things in the pile as long as it's in the pile. It doesn't have to be like folder with like 7 subfolders. It can just be one folder full of stuff. Like we feel like we need, like somehow that's not a good enough organization system. But I feel like I spend more time trying to go through all the folders and find the thing. Whereas if everything's just in one spot and I can search it, that actually saves me time. So I have backed off my extreme organization and made it far more simple. And that's been like a huge time saver. So I was saying, we have about 10 minutes left and I definitely want to touch on this one because someone wrote this and it made me laugh really hard because this is literally like what I do for my job is teach women how to have systems in place and routines and rhythms to their day so that you can do all the things that you need to do, whether it's at work or being a mom or homeschooling or whatever it is that you are endeavoring to accomplish that day. And what they wanted to talk about was how routines are the worst. I was like, oh, that's because we are trying to do routines that don't make sense for ADHD. And the other day, Jesse said something that I was like, brilliant. And I'm sorry, I'm probably going to misquote you, Jesse, but if you could like fix it for whatever I say, it was something like, don't be a slave to the routine, but be a slave to the motivation.
Yeah. So I think we're just like so wired to being like, we know that routines are good and routines actually really, really help our brain, but they're so hard for us to stick to because we have a very rebellious brain, if you haven't noticed. We can be very stubborn. We don't want to do the same thing every day and we get tired of doing the same thing every day. And I think that's where we like make the routine the enemy in our head. But it's really different for you to like kind of change that mindset to like, okay, it's not a routine that I'm going after. It's the reason for it, right? So if your motivation is to like have a smoother day by having a cup of tea outside your porch and look at the sky or whatever, if that really helps you have a better day and like gives you a moment to yourself, that's the reason you're doing it. Not because it's a routine and because you must do it, because you must check it off, because you must feel good about yourself, right? So it's really just like reminding yourself, what was the reason for this routine? Always have that in the back of your mind. Because what if you wake up one day with a major headache and you just like can't stand the light of the sun outside and like you don't do your routine and then you're like, man, I suck. Like I didn't do my routine today. And then we go through the shame spiral. That's because you've forgotten the reason why you were doing it, right? It's really just being committed to the reason, not the actual action, and being super committed and consistent with it.
Yeah, like our routines are built to serve us. We are not supposed to be slaves to the routine. That upends the whole purpose behind it. And when we're creating routines, like first of all, we all have routines. Like we do things in the same way every day and we don't even realize it. Like it may just be that your routine is to be a hot mess and you still have a routine. It's just one that you don't want. So when we change the routine to be like, the whole purpose is to hit the goal that you want to hit, which is for like the example that you gave of like, I want to be able to sit on my porch and sip my coffee for a few minutes before I start my day. Then the point is to center yourself for the day so that you're not just running around like a crazy person all day long. You have a purpose and a time to be like, whew, okay, pulling it together. Here's where I'm going to start my day off well. So the point of the routine is to start your day well, or, you know, end your day well. It's to put a lot of things on autopilot so you're not using your mental bandwidth for the things that you have to do anyways, and to make your mental load as light as possible. They're not there to make your life miserable. A lot of times we think like we start a routine and then we're like, well, now I have to do this. And if I don't, then I'm a horrible person because I didn't finish the thing. I didn't check that box. But that's the opposite of why we should be doing them. And a lot of times we set this idea of routines that like it should look like sunrise yoga and sipping my coffee for 30 minutes in peace. And I'm going to say my mindful meditations for 20 minutes, and I'm going to shower in peace and blow dry my hair and we create it to be this like crazy big thing that's not actually attainable in real life. When if the purpose of all that stuff was supposed to be, I want to start my day off well, it can look so different and still accomplish that same task. So that one just made me laugh really hard because I'm like, oh, that's how I felt for so many years because I was expecting myself to be sunrise yoga lady instead of what is Patricia name.
Do you wish there was a way to feel confident about your day? To know exactly where you need to be, when you need to be there, and what you need to do today. I know what it's like to buy 15 different planners and not use any of them for more than a week or two. When you're tired of disappointing your family, your boss, and yourself. Imagine with me that tonight, when you look back at your day, you know that you did the things on your to-do list. You showed up well. You feel productive and accomplished. That's why I created Daily Planning for ADHD Moms, where I teach you how to keep a calendar and organize your to-do list. When you learn these skills from another ADHD brain in super short videos, they finally make sense. So now you'll be able to keep up with the commitments you've made and feel confident in how you're organizing your day. You'll walk away with an easy to stick to 3-step system to keep up with your calendar and a simple way to sort through the giant to-do list and figure out what actually matters. Plus, we have a weekly accountability group so you can ask questions when you're stuck and jump back on the wagon when you fall off. Because you will fall off. That's just part of ADHD. But now you will know how to prepare for that. So if you're ready to figure out your day in a way that makes sense both for mom life and an ADHD brain, I want to help you make this happen. Join me at bit.ly/ADHD plan. That's bit.ly/ADHD plan. It's all lowercase letters. I cannot wait to see you feel confident and competent in how you run your family life.
Hey, Latrice, did you want to share something?
So routine has been something I've been thinking about a lot lately, just because of how trapped I feel in my routine sometimes. And there's routines that, like, these are routines that I created for myself, but along the way, I picked up some bad habits in the routine and I'm trying to break them, but I find that really difficult and I'm really struggling to create a routine that makes me feel good or just a healthier routine in general. And I'm just wondering how to do that. Like, I'm not diagnosed with ADHD, but I resonate a lot with the symptoms. So I don't know, as people who are diagnosed, like maybe you can give me some tips as to how you create, I guess, better patterns in your life and breaking not so good.
Can you give me an example of one that is one that you would like to cut out?
I have a tendency to kind of just binge watch shows a lot. Mm-hmm. And when I'm done, I just start another one. Like I feel like I can never break the pattern of coming home and throwing down my shit and then just starting the TV. That's something that I think has become really unhealthy. And I'd really like to start doing other things, practicing other hobbies, but it feels impossible. Like I feel so trapped in this routine. Like I have to do this, yes, even though I don't want to anymore. And even when I have the conscious thought, hey, maybe we can try doing some yoga or maybe we can try making dinner, it just sits in the back of my brain and I can't get up. And I just end up watching TV all night.
Yes, that is so common. So one of my favorite books is Atomic Habits. I love that book so much. And it's not for people with ADHD, but it's really good. And I also read the book that he based a lot of his research on, which I hope I'm getting this right. I think it's called Smarter, Better, Faster. I think it's by Charles Duhigg. And understanding how our brain gets into these habits where it's like, I don't want to do this, but like now I have created this habit and I can't stop myself. Like, it's so fascinating to me how our brains work. So one of the things that comes right off the top of my head would be that whatever thing that you would want to do instead of watching TV is, what kind of visual thing could you put that you would encounter that first before you hit the TV? So for example, like if you wanted to do yoga before you leave for the day, can you put all the yoga stuff out on the floor so that when you walk in the room, instead of encountering the TV first, the first thing you hit is the yoga mat? Or could you pack the yoga stuff with you to work so that you change your clothes at work before you leave? So when you get home, you're already in the yoga clothes.
I wish you could see like how my jaw visibly dropped when you said that, because it feels so simple, but I never thought of it.
And why would you have? Because you've never had to. And that's part of the great thing about having community of people who understand how your brain works, is that we're like, oh yeah, totally been there. Here's one of the things that I do. Because otherwise, like, where else would you have picked that up? Like, who else would have told you that? But people like Jesse and I were like, oh yeah, 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 I'm in there. So it's like, most people would be like, why on earth would you pack your yoga clothes to work? Like, why don't you just do it when you get home? But if your brain then associates like, I walk home, I put down things, I turn on the TV, it's like, how do I interrupt that pattern before it even gets started? So like, does that look like I don't go home right away? Maybe instead I go somewhere else. Basically just how do you interrupt that pattern before it even starts down the path? That's kind of like dominoes. Once you hit the first one, they all just go. But if you're using that to your advantage, okay, well, I'm not hitting that first domino, I'm going to head over here instead. That's a really good way to start to break the pattern. But also like being forgiving with yourself, the like, there's a good chance on like day three, you'll still end up down that same path. And instead of kicking yourself, saying, it's okay, I know that I didn't do whatever the thing was that worked days one and two. Okay, day four, I'm going to go back and try the things that worked on day one and two, because we tend to like really beat ourselves up when things don't go well.
Beating myself up is the thing that I struggle with a lot too. I feel so much like guilt and shame for like not keeping promises to myself or other people. Mm-hmm. And I always feel so out of control because I'm really trying and I don't mean to break these promises to myself. It's just, I just feel so stuck.
Yeah. And that's so common. Like, I want you to know that that is so, so frequent, and it's not you, and you're not broken, and you're not alone. And there are things that we can do differently, but it takes a lot of community and support and learning on our parts to figure out what makes sense for us and not what everybody else is telling us to do, because usually their advice doesn't work for us.
Tell me about it.
Yep.
Thank you, ladies, for answering my question and for hosting this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for sharing. Nicole, I see you there, and we're already over time. So if you can ask your question super fast, then I'm going to squeeze it in and hope they don't get mad at me for talking more time.
No, it's actually just a quick comment. So the Latrice, who was just speaking, made a comment right at the tail end about making promises to herself that she keeps breaking. And that really sparked something with me, because I changed my verbiage when dealing with my kids and my family and anybody else. I no longer use the term, I promise. I say, maybe I'll see what I can do. And I don't ever make promises to myself that I know I'm not going to keep. I set expectations for myself that I know are reachable and attainable. And then I know that there's a goal following that. Like, there's the next task. I'll make a task list for myself in my notes on my iPhone. And it'll be everything that I think of as I'm doing another task. I'll just keep adding it to my notes. And then I go, wow, I get to check mark everything off that I've accomplished, that I feel like I've accomplished something I can look back.
And Nicole, like, I think we lost you. Are you still there?
Yeah, I am. I have bad signal.
Okay, if you could repeat the last sentence, see, that's where you cut out.
I was just saying that it's so common for ADHDers to like be told that they broke a promise or they didn't keep their word, and it's not that we do it on purpose. Mm-hmm. It's that we lost our train of thought, we forgot, and it's not that it wasn't important to us, we just got caught up in something else.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. I love that about, like, I'm not going to promise. I'm not going to use those words anymore and then set myself up for failure, right? Yeah, that was so good. I love that.
Okay, we have like 2 minutes probably that I can keep going here. And I'm going to ask Jesse my lightning round questions because I end every interview with these 6 questions. Number one, the best thing that I've read or listened to recently is?
The Jim Fortin podcast. Man, I've learned a lot from it.
Okay, number two, my most boring about me fact is?
Oh, that's funny. I don't even know what's boring about my life. I feel like I'm pretty exciting. Yeah, nothing, because I'm too cool for school.
Okay, number three. When I'm having a rough day, my go-to quote, song, poem, book, activity, whatever, is?
Probably tickle fight with my toddler.
Number four, don't tell anyone I
run my business from my PJs and eat ice cream as my lunch.
Number five, if I had a magic fairy wand for one spell, I would
show ADHD people how badass they are and they actually be able to believe it.
And number six, my best piece of advice for people with ADHD is?
You have to lean into your skills. What are the amazing things that you're really good at? Do more of that and less of everything else. Tell your employers, I'm really good at this. You can really lean on me to do all of these things. And that way you can win more and feel really good about what you're doing and feel lit up inside.
That is awesome. Okay, can you share with everyone, if they want to find you and connect with you, where would they locate you on the vast internet?
I'm very active on my Instagram, so follow me at ADHD Female Entrepreneurs. I know, really long name. My website is also ADHDFemaleEntrepreneurs.com. You can find me on there, and you can join my Facebook group if you are a lady with ADHD, ADHD Female Entrepreneurs community. We have a pretty big community. So yes, I would love if you guys could follow me on Instagram or Facebook or anywhere that you are really on, and we can connect and talk more about ADHD. I always share lots and lots of tips, so you'll have lots to learn.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. I so appreciate your willingness to chat and share and be vulnerable in how ADHD affects us and all the things that we can do. And we really appreciate all of you being here and sharing with us and being proud of who you are and leaning into everything that your ADHD gives you. And with that, you know, comes a lot of struggle as well. But at least when you feel good about who you are and you're leaning into that, it makes it a lot easier to deal with all of the struggles that come with it. And when you truly understand who you are and how your brain works, then you can figure out the ways that make sense for you. So thanks so much for being here, and y'all have an amazing day.
Yes, thank you so much, guys.
For more resources, classes, and community, head over to my website, motherhoodinadhd.com.